Second. We all are off our game this morning. Let's see. Morning.
Good morning.
Woo! Let's get excited. It's a new year. Hey! And so our New Year service is around a special day that's called, and because remember, in the church calendar, on the sacred calendar, we're still in Christmas season. Now, I know y'all are ready to pack up your ornaments and put your trees away and take down the lights and all that good stuff, but the reality is, according to the sacred calendar, the Christmas season doesn't start till December 25th. And it goes till January the 6th, the 12 days of Christmas. 12 days of feasting and celebrating. And because we live mostly by our secular calendar instead of our sacred, most of us have celebrated and done all of those things before Christmas. I've even been considering maybe we do the Christmas party for the church next year after Christmas. And part of the new year, all of that together. So just kind of keep that in your mind. And so we are basically on the eighth day after when Jesus would have been born. Now, not his actual birthday, but it was customary, right, for Israel, for the people of Israel, for the Jewish faith, that on the eighth day your son would be circumcised. And that would be when his name was publicly given. And so that's what we celebrate today. And on the church calendar for many, many years, it was really called Circumcision Sunday. But because Luke makes it more about the name, I began to celebrate it as the name of Jesus Sunday. Because even as Advent, remember Lent, we're following the journey of Jesus through his ministry as he goes to the cross. And Advent is the journey, the sacred watch, the waiting, the anticipation of the incarnation, of Christ's coming to the earth. And we're anticipating his second coming. And we're also remembering that he's continually coming into our lives, into the world. And so now in the Christmas season, we're marking the time that he has come and what was happening after his birth. And so on the calendar, not the exact date, because like I put on my Facebook post last week, we don't celebrate December 25th because anyone thinks Jesus was born that day. Well, we do because that's what people say. Happy birthday, Jesus. Give Jesus birthday cakes. And we put our culture on him. But the reason that we celebrate Christmas, the Christ Mass, is not because it's the day Jesus was born, but because Jesus was born. Do you hear the difference? It's not because of the day. We're pretty sure that he probably was born around Passover. So it's not about the exact calendar date. We're not marking his birth the way we do on our birthday. That this is the day we came into the world. The Christmas Mass, because in the ancient culture, the solstice, the winter solstice, which is the darkest day of the year, had specific ways it was celebrated. And so they would worship the sun god and all kinds of things. Excuse me. And so by the late 200s, 250, 275, we were celebrating a Christ Mass, not because it was rooted in paganism, but because Christianity, the kingdom of God, as Jesus taught us, is like leaven that works its way into our lives, but it also is called to work its way into our cultures and into nations. And so The kingdom is called to transcend culture, but also transform it. And so the fathers of the first few hundred years, they did not want to be like Christianity was some gloomy religion without any celebration, without any joy, without anything to look at, even though Western Christianity's done a lot to bring it down. Don't dance, don't play cards, don't have fun, don't, you know, we did all of those things, right? Don't laugh, don't wear makeup, don't, you know, all the do's and the don'ts. But what the ancients understood was humanity needs to celebrate, and that God had festivals in his calendar built into the Hebrew calendar. And so Christmas, the Christ Mass, instead of celebrating the sun God was born, we celebrate the Son was born. That the Son of God has come, that he is greater than any God because he is the Son of God. And so a lot of us don't, we haven't learned this history. And so we don't know. And so if someone says, well, it's rooted in paganism. No, it's not. It's rooted in the idea that Jesus transcends and transforms culture. That's what it's rooted in. And it's something we need today. And so we are continuing this journey, this celebration, of the coming of our Jesus, of our Christ, our Messiah, our Savior. And this day we celebrate and honor this specific name of Christ Sunday, which we will read about in just a few minutes. So our readings today come from Numbers 6, 22 to 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, his son, saying, thus shall you bless the Israelites. And you shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, so that they shall put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. Galatians 4, 4 to 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, an heir through God. Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God I'm going to sip this coffee and then take a cough drop. Therefore, God also, found the human form. Verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And now we find ourselves on this day in Scripture, Luke 2, 15 to 21. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words, pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was even conceived in the womb. Amen. So today we celebrate the first day of the new year of 2023. It's about rolling away the previous season, standing at the threshold of a new place, of a new beginning, seeing it fresh. Also looking back with reverence and looking back with wisdom and looking back over the previous year. This is bad this morning. And so we are looking forward to a new start. In addition to our secular calendar celebration, the church calendar celebrates the Holy Name of Jesus Sunday on this day, commemorating the eighth day after the birth of Jesus when he was named and circumcised. As our reading of Luke said, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You see, as I mentioned earlier, under the law of Moses, all male infants were to be circumcised on the eighth day after birth. Leviticus 12:3 is where you find that. It was also customary at this time for family and friends to witness the naming of the child. So the church, the big church, big C, celebrates on January 1st not only the new year, but the eighth day of Christmas to honor the naming of our Lord Jesus. So traditionally, I have followed the footsteps of contemporary Christian pop culture indoctrination. And I'd seek the Lord for a word for the year and do my beginning of the year preaching, whether New Year's Eve or the New Year's Day, and release that in the context as I understood it. And don't get me wrong, I have and continue to seek him for a word for the year, for the church, for myself. But my focus this Sunday, unlike previous years, is not so much about the prophetic release, although we will have that at the end. The center will be Jesus, the center of our gathering. The call of this gathering, the purpose of this gathering is Jesus. Because what we have gotten about with the prophetic is many times even those words are not given in a way that we understand how they even fit in our life in Christ. And prophesying destinies and things that are going to happen, houses and cars, and I know that doesn't necessarily happen here, but it is a conditioned response in the general church. And the overall evangelical, charismatic, Pentecostal understanding. And so continue. I do have things I'm going to release, but not like I have done with previous seasons. This year, as we continue to travel this path in which we are trying to recover a more authentic faith, we're going a different way. And I think to skip this day, this specific day on the Christmas calendar would be to miss an amazing opportunity. An opportunity to start the new year with our hearts and minds fixed on Jesus. Fixed on him and on his life, on his love, on his purpose, on his being instead of ourselves. What's the word of the Lord for me this year? I don't think we realize how self-centered we are, even in our spirituality. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus cares about our hopes and our dreams and our goals and our destinies. Absolutely, he does. But what if putting my resolutions as the priority of the year has actually been why most of them fail before the end of the month? What if it's because I have set myself at the center of all of those things? What if it's because by setting myself as the center, I have to be the one who accomplishes it? And it has to be done in my strength. And that's why I easily fail within a week or two or three. Most people are going to make them on the first and break them by the third. That's always been my way. What if instead of saying Jesus is first, that we actually put Jesus first? Let me say that again. Instead of saying Jesus is first in our lives, that we actually do put Jesus first in our lives. So on this first Sunday of 2023, we are going to set Jesus as the priority of this year, of this house, of this pastor. On this first Sunday of 2023, we will set Jesus as the priority. And this amazing day that we celebrate his name. And why is his name so important? We're going to talk about that. I don't think we understand why the name Jesus is so important to us. I even had somebody send me a TikTok about how we shouldn't even say Jesus. We're supposed to say Yeshua, and we ain't supposed to say God. We're supposed to be saying Yahweh. And it's like you don't understand translation. There's no sh sound in the Greek. That's why it's not Yeshua. Because in the Greek, there is no SH sound, so they use two S's. And so that's why it's Jesus and not Jeshua. Because it's Greek. Jesus is Jeshua, Joshua in Greek. And it is the name that has been on the lips of the ancients from the beginning. So somebody in 2022 does not have a corner on the market of the name of God. So we're setting Jesus as the priority, as the head of the year, as the head of this amazing day. And yes, we are going to see what he may say to us, but after we've set him in the highest place, after we've made him the center of it all, let's see what comes forth from that. Instead of the word being the center, meaning the prophetic word, instead of the prophetic word, the prophecy over the new year, instead of it being the center, focus, the central purpose, Jesus be the center purpose, the purpose of our gathering. Not just, you know how many people, I can't wait to go because I need a word of the Lord. I can't wait to hear the word of the Lord for the year. Not, I can't wait to be with Jesus. The word. Now, you think language, and I'm being picky, I'm not. We don't realize when we say things like that how much of our own misunderstanding, our own revelation, our own truths that we're walking in that is actually contradictory to what we really mean and what we really want. So as we begin, I hope one of the things that you really heard in these passages, as you heard me read through Numbers, as even you read the psalm together, when you were reading Galatians, when you're reading Luke, one of the things that I hope above all that you heard was that in these passages, God is good and he is a loving father. And this love that he has for his humanity, for his children, for his people, his blessings, his face are turned to us, not away. His peace and his grace are all for us, not against us. He intentionally gave his son to us. He intentionally gives his son to redeem us. He intentionally makes us his family. And if we are not slaves and we're sons, we are heirs. Heirs of what? God. And we go on to learn of the ultimate expression of his love and his goodness when Paul tells us that Jesus emptied himself and takes on our form and our likeness and humbles himself and gives his life to death. Life itself comes and takes on our dying, decaying, mortal flesh so that we can put on the life of God. He puts on our likeness so that we can put on his likeness. He takes on our death so that we can put on his life. This is the ultimate picture of love. He comes to redeem us. He comes to give us an inheritance. He comes to make us family. He gives himself away. This one who comes as God. God comes and allows himself to be deposited in the womb of a woman. God in a woman. Why is that so important? Well, you have to remember in Jewish culture, if you were to touch a woman, then you would be considered defiled. You're no longer holy or clean. So God comes to a woman to be born through blood, which also then makes you unholy. So holiness himself puts on God. God puts on our likeness, subjects himself to being born of a woman through blood. All the things that make a rabbi or a priest or a high priest no longer holy. They are now defiled and have to go through the cleansing. But this is the way God comes. You hear the humility this requires. Don't allow this to just be skipped over. I need you to engage this place. Because what it does is it helps us see humanity different. Because what religion tends to want us to do is climb up into our ivory towers and look down at everyone. But with Jesus coming into the world, we realize he subjected himself to the lowest places of humanity so that he could bring the lowest of humanity to the heights of God. It strips away our right to judge. It strips away our ability to judge and dislike and condemn and frustrate and all of those things that come when we judge one another, or judge other people or people groups or where people live or how people live or what they're doing. What you have to understand is Jesus came into the lowest places that we stand in judgment of. This is this one whose name is Jesus. What he comes and shows us. God himself leaves heaven, takes death, a death that was filled with humiliation. God is stripped naked and marched through the streets. God submits himself to humanity's hand and brutality and power and submits himself to let them shred his very flesh off of his body as they beat him with the cat of nine tails. God himself suffers this humiliation and shame as he dies on Rome's cross, executed as a criminal, a common criminal. See, this is how God shows us what love is. It's not giving us everything we want. It's not giving us all of the greatest things and the best things and the houses and the clothes and the cars and the money. It's not, this isn't the best thing. He gives us himself. The best thing he gives is himself. And he brings himself forward in humiliation, in distress like humanity, broken as humanity. And he comes to us in this way and says, here I am. Here I am. And he shows us through this act of love that love gives, that love does, that love costs, and what love can give and what love will give up. This demonstration of what love is has a depth to it that we have yet to imagine. Because for most of us, we still live as the center of it all. And Jesus lived in such a way that all of humanity was the center of it all. It was self-emptying, self-sacrificing way of being. His ontological way of being defies what we hold as sacred and powerful and successful and meaningful in this world. Then we learn from Paul that he calls us to have this kind of mind. Paul tells us, have this mind in you that was in Jesus, who emptied himself. Wow. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus, who though he, who was God, did not regard equality with God, but he emptied himself. He emptied himself and he took on the form of a slave. He took on something that was unrecognizable to the angels of heaven. God as a slave? He's a God who bleeds. He's a God who cries. He teaches us that we're not our own. We're not the center of our own worlds, or at least as followers of Jesus, we shouldn't be. Because of Jesus' selflessness, God has now, from Paul's view, exalted him and given him the name above every name, so that at that name that we celebrate, at that name that we worship, at that name of our Lord, at that name of our Christ, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. At that name, Jesus Christ is Lord. His name, Jesus. The shortest prayer you'll ever pray, Jesus. The deepest prayer you'll ever pray, Jesus. The name that's above every other name, Jesus, Lord in Christ, Jesus. The name of the babe born in the city of David, laid in a manger, born of a virgin and to a carpenter, Jesus. God in the flesh, God incarnate, Jesus, Messiah, Savior, Jesus, who our Redeemer, our Deliverer, Jesus, our Prince of Peace, our Lord of Lords, our King of Kings, Jesus, the Son of the Living God, Jesus, the King of Glory, the King of Righteousness, Jesus, Creator of all, Jesus, Lamb of God and Lion of Judah, Jesus, the Wisdom of the Ages and the Light of the World, Jesus, the Bread of Heaven and the Drink Offering of Life. His name is Jesus, and he is the Alpha and the Omega, the Author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus. 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 Oh, the wonderful name of Jesus. The beautiful name of Jesus. The 14th century English mystic Richard Rolle believed that the very name of Jesus was intrinsic to our salvation. And once said, if you think on the name of Jesus continually and you hold his name stably between your lips, it shall purge your sins and kindle your heart. And it's very closely related to how the ancient fathers in the Egyptian desert, the desert fathers, practiced their faith. Hours a day, hours upon hours a day, they would sit in silence saying one prayer. We call it the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. That was it. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. The cry of the blind, the cry of the beggar, the cry of the lame, and the cry of the leper. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Not hours of intercession, not months of fasting, not 24 hours of worship. the simplicity of the deepness of the prayer and the acknowledgement that we need His mercy, we need His grace every single day still. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy. Perhaps the most moving and beautiful use of the name of Jesus is that of the English martyrs during the Reformation. Now, these martyrs were not the Protestant martyrs that I'm talking about. These were the Catholics that were martyred during the Protestant Reformation when Queen Elizabeth would have them killed because they would not stop saying their rosary, and they would not stop saying the Blessed Mary prayer. And so they would... So Queen Elizabeth had them martyred for the sake of their faith. As they followed in the footsteps of John Bodie, who went to his execution with this prayer on his lips, Jesus, 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 be to me Jesus, meaning be to me salvation. The name of Jesus is literally synonymous with salvation. To say His name, it becomes an ark in the storm. To say His name, it becomes an ark in the wind. To say His name becomes an anchor in the midst of the storm. To just say His name reminds us of our salvation. As the Apostle Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, said in Acts 4, 10 to 12, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among mankind by which we must be saved. His name for Peter, for the apostles, especially the 12 that walked with him, salvation was connected to His name. The call upon the name. Peter steps out in faith and he begins to sink. What does he call out? Jesus, help me. The lepers who want to be touched, 10 of them on the outside in the margins, in the marginalized, on the border towns where no one wants to go. They cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us, and are healed. It's the name of Jesus brings so much. By this name are we saved. Jesus tells us in John 14:26, and this is very important because I think we miss this, that the Holy Spirit will come in His name. The Holy Spirit comes in Jesus' name. If you look at that verse, it literally says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peter and John at the gate called Beautiful, healing, which is what they testified to in John 4. They're brought before the courts because they're using the name of Jesus. And that's why Peter makes this defense. Look, I don't know what to tell you. I said the name and he's healed. And he stands before you 100% healthy. He stood at the gate called Beautiful, meaning every one of you saw him. Every time you passed by to go to the temple, you saw him sitting there. And now he stands there before you in complete health, totally in wholeness. And you want to talk about the name? I'll tell you the name. His name is Jesus. And when they stood before this beggar, this lame man who could not walk, what they told him was simply this: I don't have silver and I don't have gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. See, we always think that's because they have healing. That's what he gave. That's not what he gave. He gave him the name. by which salvation and healing come. I'm giving you the name of Jesus, the Nazarite. Now walk. It wasn't healing that flowed to their body like electric bolts. It was the name that's above every other name. It was the name above the names in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. He gave them the name. And by the name, he walked. And according to 1 Corinthians 6:11, we're washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of Jesus and in the Spirit of God. The babe named as the angel spoke, Luke tells us. Jesus is indeed God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So we stand here at the fountainhead of the year with our hearts and minds fixed upon the name, upon Jesus, the name by which we are saved, the name by which God has created another ark for all of humanity. Sealed, we are in his name. So as we look to the new year, may we above all hold his name between stammering lips, in our beating hearts, and upon the thoughts of our minds. Let us be like the psalmist who cries out, "Bless the Lord, my soul, all my being, bless his holy name." There's part in the Catholic catechism, which, remember, we were all Catholic until 500 years ago, that I absolutely love. And I read scholars from Catholicism, from Lutherans. I read all of them now. But I love this part from the Catechism. And it reads like this: "But the one name that contains everything is the one that the Son of God received in his incarnation, Jesus." So what are they talking about? See, we know him as Light of the World, Prince of Peace, Lion of Judah, right? Lamb of God. We know him as all these things, but what they're putting forth is that the most powerful name, the most amazing name, the most special name, everything is in this one name, Jesus. The name Jesus contains it all, God and man. See, it is the whole economy of creation and salvation in this name. God in humanity's name is Jesus. God, creator of all, enters his creation and his name is Jesus. God, who is Emmanuel, God with us, comes and tabernacles with us and his name is Jesus. The economy of salvation, the economy of the kingdom, the economy. We keep thinking that this is about money. No, it's not. It's about salvation, the true riches of the kingdom. It goes on to say, to pray the name Jesus, this is from the Catholic Catechism, is to invoke him and to call him within us. Not out there. It is to, when we say his name, it is to provoke the Spirit of God, the Christ in us, to come forward. His name is the only one that contains the presence it signifies. Jesus. Jesus tells us, "And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it." So on this new year, my plea to you and my prayer for all of us is, as we look into this new year, Let it be rooted in Jesus. May it be anchored in Jesus. Allow Jesus access to every place in our hearts, every place and corner of our minds, to bring us into true salvation, meaning to be saved, whole, healed, in shalom, meaning nothing missing, nothing broken. No war within, no war without. That we would allow the transformation that we seek to be governed from the inside out. Make the resolutions, but be resolute about allowing the name of Jesus to transform us from the inside out. The name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven or on earth by which we gain salvation. He is Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. So set him in at the highest place of this year. Set him in as the highest place in your life. And as we prepare to enter worship, I just want to pray into that. And like I said, it's best to have this off, right, Steve, unless somebody is praying. Turn it on. Okay. And you'll just mute it. Okay. So as worship, as we enter worship, I'm going to pray, and then Steve's going to start worship. And I don't have a fixed time. If the Spirit's still moving and you want to stay, we're going to start another set. If God's still speaking, we'll do another set. If you have to go, just feel free. There's no wait. There's no expectation of how long you have to stay or whatever. You go as you feel led to go. But I want to give Jesus all the time he wants and all the time he needs in this moment. We want to let him speak, but I want him to speak to us now with this place where he's the center. He's the highest thing we're looking at. Not our fears, not our troubles, not our weight. Even though that's all I've seen all day today. That's why I was ready to weep through my own message. Because that's what I have set at the priority today, was to see myself heavy and in the clothes that I had on and all of those things. And really, it's Jesus I need to see. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I repent, we repent of every place and anything that holds a position in our lives over you. Anything we fear that is greater than our faith, that you'll overcome it. There's strongholds, God. And strongholds are just habits of thinking that have developed a pattern in the way that we think. And we live and respond out of that pattern. But our battle is not against flesh and blood. What it means is it's not the person, but it's also not demons, guys. What he's talking about there is a wrestling with ourself. The way I think, what I believe. I am the only one who can partner with him to break these strongholds. So when we're not battling flesh and blood, doesn't mean it's always demons. It means sometimes it's our mind. Sometimes it's our will. Sometimes it's our emotion. Sometimes it is this world. So Holy Spirit, help us to identify the source of our warfare. The source of our pulling asunder. The source of our division within. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to reveal to us where our hearts and our minds are not in one. revealed to us where we are broken in alignment with our heart and our head, and bring us into alignment so that we think the same way that we feel, and that we feel the same way that we think. That we don't live in a false dichotomy, but we live in union and oneness. So Holy Spirit, as we worship, let our eyes be fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of this year. Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Jesus, my victor, my deliverer, my redeemer, who will help me accomplish every obstacle that I need to overcome, every challenge that I need to face, every thought that needs to be broken. I call on Jesus, the name by which I am saved. I call on your wisdom. I call on your grace. I call on your authority. So Lord, as we worship you, speak as only you can speak. Declare. Move upon us. Give us a vision for the future as a house, as a people. Give us a vision for the future for our families and for our own lives. Give us a vision. But we want it through the lens of Jesus. We want it with our eyes fixed on Jesus. We thank you and praise you. And so as we worship, Lord, speak. As we worship, bring freedom, deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.